It used to be chill. It's all up in smoke. I think I'm still fun. Parenting's a joke.
Hello, listeners. This is Parenting is a Joke. I'm a container missing a lid named Ophira Eisenberg. And on the show, we bring together professional funny people, stand-up comedians, to talk about their creative careers and raising children. That's right, what it's like to do a job in entertainment and be a parent. How the fuck do we do it? Today, my son said the football hit me in the acorns. And I was like, what? What are acorns? And he said, well, nuts, but I'm a little kid, so they're just acorns still. And I just burst out laughing. Come on. That is hilarious. And really a good use of terminology. I mean, there are some things that you want to explain to your kid. But also, after a long day, you just want to laugh when a little kid refers to his testicles as acorns. My guest today is Julia Rozzi, and we talk about her go-to disciplinarian move.
You're delaying bedtime. If you don't fucking, like, shit or get off the pot, no bubble guppies. Okay?
More with me and Julia Rozzi right after these tiny, tiny ads that are telling you to buy things that you might need.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Monday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So I spent all weekend with my son, and I gotta tell you, not for me. That's a little bit of classic Ophira material. But no, I was more or less solo parenting with my son all weekend because my husband was at a Comic-Con. The nerd shit is real. But then on Sunday night, I had shows, so I left to go do them right before bedtime. And my son high-fived me as I was leaving and said, "Great spending the weekend with your mom," like I was some guest in from out of town or a cousin that visited for the weekend. I guess I really do leave a lot. Little kids in restaurants. Thoughts, people? Do you do it? Some folks I know take their kids all the time out for food. Some not at all. I'm somewhere in between because I'll say this. It's not fun yet. Unless I just shove an iPad in front of his face and keep a steady stream of fries coming his way. But that's not what I want. No, I have this vision. A utopia where we're all sitting together, we're talking, we're laughing, we're trying food that touches each other on the plate. And it's a delightful experience. And we laugh, and all of a sudden I say, "Oh my goodness, our son loves rosemary." But in reality, even just the sitting part is a crazy feat. And you know what? I hate going down this path about talking about the gender divide because I do think it's bullshit and not true. But let me tell you, when we go out for food with little girls my son's age, you know what they do? They sit down. They sit down in chairs and eat their food. Not my son. And I'm not saying I'm talking for all boys, but I see less of it with these little boys. And I'm trying to train myself to just leave it alone. See what happens. Because guess what doesn't work? Me saying, "Sit down. Put your tush in the chair. Both bum cheeks on the seat. Sit down. Could you please sit down, please? Just sit down for 20 minutes. Because that has zero results." But then I'm told, just keep saying it because one day it will sink in. Really? Does that actually work? I mean, that is what I'm doing, I guess, but it just feels like fruitless nagging. Or maybe it's like potty training. You know, when you're going through potty training and people say when you're struggling, they go, don't worry, because no kid goes to college in diapers, okay? You're going to do it. So should I just assume that I'll just keep doing this? And when he's older, when he's in college, he'll sit down at a table? Or will he? What if everyone just continues to go the other way and honors their kids' individual path and we let them live in their truth? And, you know, you do you and wherever you're coming from is the right place. And we end up just with a whole bunch of college kids in diapers who can't sit at a table because we let them just be themselves. And we were told to take our feet off the brakes of these draconian, disciplinarian, strict parenting protocols and nagging because we were told they don't work. But then I remember, wait a second, 20 years from now, it's going to be no college. Yeah, food will be injected, all underwear will be absorbent, and I'll be dead. So I just sigh a big, big sigh of relief. Are these musings of my mind called intrusive thoughts? I just learned that term. Is that what these are? Wait a second. Is a podcast one big intrusive thought? It might be. I think it is. So you know what? Let me interrupt this one with an even better one. Coming up, I talk to the very funny comedian Julie Rozzi about raising a kid who actually puts their crap away. My guest is someone I haven't spoken to for a long time, so I'm very excited. She used to live in New York, but she left us for the sunny skies of L.A. She's a comedian, actress, writer. She's written for HBO, MTV, Bravo, The New Yorker. She's appeared on Conan, After Midnight, Lights Out with David Spade. She's got a new solo show called In Bed by 10. You see a trajectory right there. I'm so excited to speak to the fabulous Julia Rozzi. Hi.
Hi. Intros always make you sound so busy and fabulous, and then you like get off the podcast and go lie back in bed.
I know, and you're like, why isn't anyone replying to my emails?
Why are they all at the We Hate Julia meeting?
Right. I know. Okay. So just to give us a little context, what is the age of your child?
She is 3 and a half. And I have a 13-year-old dog child who's crying at my door that I have to get because she can hear me talking about the real child or the youngest child. And it's
very
upset.
Which one do you love more?
Hey.
No, not everybody is, but are you comfortable with sharing the name of your daughter?
Oh, sure. Stella.
Okay. So Julia on itself is a totally perfect name. But because your spelling of your name is unusual, I obviously know the pain of just having a name that is odd and it gets both mispronounced and misspelled. But I imagine you have been plagued with people looking at your name on a piece of paper or whatever for your life and saying weird versions of it.
Yes.
Gulia or something?
Gulia, and also saying, oh, were you named after the wedding singer? Because there's Julia Gulia. And I'm like, yeah, I was, my mom predicted that 15 years later, or whenever the movie came out after I was born,
that this might happen. So yeah. did that influence at all the name you wanted for your kid?
No. So this is where the name, there's a couple reasons the name came about. So when I was a teenager, my best friend Maria and I were high in my Subaru talking about if we ever have kids.
You had a Subaru pre-kids?
Yeah, I had a little gold like Subaru, you know, four-door, I don't even know what it was called. It was, they don't make them anymore. It was like a little, you know, sedan.
Yep.
And she was like, I want to name my daughter. If I have a daughter, I'm going to name her Luna. We're both Italian. And I was like, well, then I'm going to name my daughter Stella. And it was going to be like star and moon. She had a daughter, didn't name her Luna, but Stella always stuck in my head. And then I had a joke that I did. So when I did Conan in 2019, I didn't know I was pregnant on the show, but I used to do this joke about pullout, and I named the jizz. I named my fake kids Stella and Giovanni. And then my mother-in-law texted me after Conan and was like, now make me a real Stella or Giovanni. And then turns out I was actually pregnant. So it was actually perfect because I had to like retire the joke, you know what I mean? And yeah. And so my mother-in-law loved the name and my mom loved the name and my husband is Black. And so we wanted to pick a name that felt good for both cultures, Italian and Black. It worked out great. It was like the only one on the list that we both agreed on in our moms, because God forbid it just be our decision. They both agreed.
Well, what I got to say, just hearing that story, another thing that sticks out about it is that your mother-in-law was giving you some pressure. Was that ever present?
Oh, no. In like a cute, because I had my daughter at 41. And so at that point, you know, I think everyone was kind of like, we'll see, you know, because I never really was somebody who was like, I want a kid. I want a kid. Like, I wasn't. And it sometimes feels shitty to say, but the truth is I was kind of in the middle. My attitude was always like, if it happens, cool. If it doesn't, cool. What really happened for me was when I, like, right when I hit 40, I don't know what it was, but like, I looked to my husband and I was like, ooh, I really want your kid. It wasn't like I just wanted a kid. I really was like, I really like our vibe. I love the way he would like, he'd always be playing with like other people's kids at like restaurant. You know, he's like that guy that like makes the faces across the room to other. And I was like, oh, I think I could do this with, as long as you're my partner in this.
Yeah.
I was always a maybe.
Yeah, I was a hardcore no. So, I was a hardcore no, but then, you know.
How did that change?
You have the right to change your mind.
Yeah. Wow, what a great answer. I had, they didn't call it a miscarriage. They called it a chemical pregnancy. Do you know what that is?
No, I do not.
I guess it's a miscarriage light. It was like I was pregnant, but it was only for like a week.
Wow.
It's still miscarried,
yeah.
But it was so short. But I was still devastated. But that actually made me want a kid even more.
So interesting you say that. I will be completely honest with you. I've thought about this before in my own life, and I want to hear your perspective, because I thought, okay, I had a miscarriage, and then the desire for me to have a kid felt ultimate. I thought, is that a deep desire for a happy ending?
That's,
I was like, is that biological? Is that emotional? Is that both? Doesn't matter. No.
I never thought of it that way. For me, I actually remember where I was standing when I felt this way. I was in my apartment in Silver Lake, and I came home after finding out that I had the chemical pregnancy, and I started crying.
Wait a second. What do you mean? What do you mean you found out?
I had a pregnancy test that came out positive.
Yes.
And I missed my period.
Yeah.
And then so I went to the doctor immediately.
Got it.
And they were like, oh, you were pregnant, but now you're not. It was all within the course of like 6 days. It was very short. So for me, I don't know if it was the happy ending. It was more that I was shocked by how happy I was at the positive pregnancy test. We were at the place of like, let's just not use protection, see what happens. You know, I'm in my 40s. I had already said, like, I don't want to go through like an intense IV. Like, I don't want to do this if it's going to be really taxing.
Yeah.
I just, you know, that's kind of where my whatever attitude came about for me. When it happened, I thought it would be like, you know, if I got a positive, I'd be like a little scared, but also excited. You know, I was not scared. I was like, fuck yes. And so for me, the reason why I felt even more motivated is because it felt good and right at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really surprised by how calm I was by the positive and how happy I was and how happy my husband was.
Oh, yeah.
There was something really good.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, now we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but that is, I really never thought of that. I'm going to probably think about that quite a bit after we get off.
Sorry.
In a good
to give
way.
You another thing.
No, it's not. It's interesting. I think that's really interesting.
You know, so I also just think, because on this podcast, we're talking to people about, you know, how they are doing this as stand-ups with an entertainment career. You know, here you are, where both parents are in comedy. Both parents yeah. want to do shows at hours that are, you know, not great for family life. So how do you do it? How do you divvy it up? Or are you still like working that out?
I'll be honest with you. Before I had the kid, before the pandemic, I was already questioning the stand-up lifestyle. I've never liked the lifestyle. I liked it when I was single. I liked it when I was really depressed. I liked it when I was young and drank a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I liked it at certain points in my life. I liked this excuse where I was like, well, I got to go out and have two drink tickets. I got to, you know, like I used to really like that, like I'm struggling. I'm so tired. You know, that whole character, right? Yeah. Part of why I moved to LA was opportunities, but also I just was that nighttime thing was kind of getting to me a bit. So I'll be honest with you, before I even had a kid, I had already consciously pulled back a little bit on travel and the amount of shows I did a week. And I think my husband was kind of going in that direction too. He had gotten a writing job out here when we moved here. And then the pandemic happened. And I was like, whoa, being in a robe all the time is pretty fucking cool. Like having that normalcy of being a stand-up's really bizarre in a way, because sometimes you have nothing all day that you really have to get dressed for. You know, like maybe you're home writing or you're doing a podcast or whatever. Then all of a sudden, like 6 o'clock hits and everyone else is coming home to have dinner and get cozy.
And you're getting
ready.
And I
have to put on makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Like the putting on makeup at 5, 6 p.m., it just started to be like, what? So it was really interesting because my child came along right when I was already having a lot of those feelings, even without a child. Fortunately, unfortunately, there isn't as much stage time in LA.
It's true. Right.
So I really only can perform once or twice a week. I mean, maybe I could perform more if I was more famous, but you know, once or twice a week, I'm pretty happy. And I usually pick shows that are going to be good.
Yeah.
So I don't kind of waste those nights. And then I only really travel if the money is fantastic. It's really conscious. Whereas before, I would just kind of say yes to everything and then be like, why am I so tired? Oh, it's because I just traveled across the country for $100.
Oh, yeah. Have you been in the situation yet where, you know, someone gets a booking, it's exactly at the same time. And maybe, you know, it's either a scramble last minute for help or someone has to take the kid with them.
Never take the kid with us yet.
Okay.
If one of us books, gets something and it's not paid and the other one's paid, it's pretty easy to figure out who's canceling. It's like, hey, I have a bar show that might give me $5. And it's like, hey, I have this gig that's going to be a guaranteed $700.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
We know what's going on.
Yeah. I think what works for us is we both are sort of in the same headspace about stand-up, where it's like, it's a part of our life. It's something we do, but we also are doing other things. So there's not that same like hustle.
Right. You do writing and you're talking about, you have a new show that you're working on, which again, I'm like, oh, you're plunging yourself back in. You say that you're trying to, you're like, oh no, I just picked the good. No. Oh no. You're going back in.
We'll see. You're allowed to change your mind. A great woman once said,
you're allowed to change your
mind. You're allowed to change your
mind.
You're
allowed to change my mind. And you have to. You have to. If anything I have learned is how much you have to be flexible.
Oy. Yep.
Do you do like mommy groups? Do you have like a mom community?
So I had my child peak pandemic, so I could see no one. And I have to say it was actually really great. We both got to be home. Either one of us was working from home. And if we weren't working from home, we were getting that sweet, sweet, sweet pandemic relief money, which is the closest equivalent to maternity leave
that we could get. That is so true.
You know, so that worked out great. And then we were really fortunate because a lot of our circle out here already either had kids or were having kids around the same time. So I didn't really feel like I needed to go find a group. And then now as she's in school, I'm like making friends with the parents there and luckily all of her favorite friends at school, I like their parent, you know.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I'm going to meet a mom I hate. I will meet. Talk to me in a year. I'll come back here and be like, this one bitch.
Right. Or just people that you don't connect with. I keep talking about like how I bomb in conversation with some moms because we're just coming from different perspectives. I'm just needy. Like, you know, that's what it is. It's like I don't realize how needy I am for their approval until I'm bombing. And then it's just like, oh, God.
God, do I want to share this publicly? Okay. You forced it out of me. Yeah. I was on a group text with some other moms briefly, and I did notice my comments never got a thumbs up or a ha-ha, but everyone else's did. I mean, and I didn't pop up that much. I was like really conscious because I was like, they all seem close. I don't even know why I'm here. And not even a nothing.
Not even two exclamation and marks.
Not even, I didn't even exist. And I was like, these moms must be friends with all those comedy people that won't respond to my emails.
Oh my God. Of course. Of course.
They meet on Wednesdays at six.
Did you get off that group text chain or are you still on it? Are you lurking?
Yeah, you know, group texts kind of like fade.
Yes.
They might still be talking. They're probably happy I'm not. I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't the right time. It's all good. Good. You can't be everyone's best friend.
I have been there though. Give me one pity heart. Okay. So, I know from your work, and this extends like your stand-up, but also you did a TEDx talk. That's the highest standard of a talk, where, you know, you talk a lot about truth, like even if it's painful truth. And then you have this little kid that you want them to, you know, be true to themselves, but also do what you're told. Like, do you constantly think about sort of the back and forth between this philosophy?
Listen, I don't know what I'm doing. No one does, but I use the no TV, like, hey, listen, knock it off or no TV. She responds very quickly to that. And then I read an article that was like, that's wrong.
Right.
Don't make threats. It teaches. And I don't even know if I'm answering your question right now, but I had this conversation with my best friend recently and I was like, you know, I feel bad because I feel like sometimes I can do the whole, like, how are you feeling? What are you doing? You know, like I try to do the whole engaging. But then sometimes it's like, yo, I know you don't have, you're done on the toilet. You've literally been sitting there for 20 minutes. You're delaying bedtime. If you don't fucking like shit or get off the pot, no bubble guppies. Okay. You want never bubble guppies again. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm human.
Absolutely. It's always, you just got to get shit done.
Yeah. Literally get shit done. Get your shit done.
But
I was talking to my friend about it and I was saying, you know, I was telling her, I feel bad sometimes when I put my foot down, but like I also have seen, you know, I've been to like the playground and I've seen these parents where their kid is like hitting other people and they're like, hey Tyler, hey bud, what's going on? It's like your kid has no, do you know what I mean? Like, so there's a balance there. Yeah, sometimes there's like a threat or sometimes I snap or sometimes there's, you know, a firmness, but there's always a conversation after where you do the repair work. And my parents didn't do that because they didn't know to do that. They didn't have,
oh my God,
that skill set yet.
Was your household strict growing up? Like, or did you have a lot of...
Gosh, how do I even explain my household? So my parents are immigrants.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of no, because I said so.
Yes, me too.
So I guess there was strictness in the sense of like, they didn't really understand like slumber parties. They're like, well, we have a bed. Why do you have to go sleep on someone's floor? Or like, do you know what I mean? And like when the school would do a fundraiser where you had to like sell wrapping paper to go on like the camp trip, they're like, we'll just give you the money. Why do you have to go beg? Like, so there was a lot of that.
Pride.
But then I had
Yeah, there was pride in there and there was
what will people think? What will people think is a huge one. So there was a lot of, I guess, rules, anxiety, conflict about like what other people would think. Oh, weird. And now I think people are talking about me behind my back. But there was a lot of freedom when it came to like, I could eat whatever I want. Like I could open the cookie cabinet and get a, like I could watch TV. Like I never understood the like Americans who are like, my mother says I can have one cookie a month, you know, and like TV rots your brain. And I'm like, oh, I'm literally at 8 years old, just like laying on the couch with like an antipasto on my chest at 10 p.m. being like, Ma, give me more salami, you know, like just raw, like lawless, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that kind of stuff also kept me in the house where she could watch me. So I was very overprotected outside of the house. Lots of rules about clean. When I see a TV show and there's kids with shoes on the bed, I'm like, how are you alive?
So I came from like an ultra clean house too. The major threat in my house growing up was if you don't pick up your stuff, and everything in my room was like put away, it would go in a box in the garage. Next stop, garbage.
My room was only for sleeping.
Me too.
In a museum of stuffed animals.
Me too. It was literally to look at.
Yeah. I could play. We had like a basement and then we had like a playroom, like a porch, whatever. And that was where you played and sometimes had friends over as long as they took off their shoes and like followed a million rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Do you try to do, like, let's say the clean thing. Do you look at, like, the toys that are being left around? You have a 3.5-year-old. Like, this is very different. You're like, clean it up or we're all going to put it away now.
Here's what's interesting. Will and I both have our isms, as all people do. I'm more neat. Like, I like to organize. And I used to be an office manager. And it kind of, like, I love a filing system. You know, like, I really, my daughter, like, from a very young age, she'll be like, she can't leave the room until she's put all the things in the places. And I remember like saying to my husband, I was like, hey, and he's like, yep, I guess it's in the DNA.
I guess it's genetic.
So may change. Who knows? She has a little bit of what I have, which is like, she does like a tidy space. We just bought a house a year and a half ago. I have a theory that looking at too many home listings and decor pages makes you fucked up about how clean your house should be.
The unattainable minimalism.
Those places, yeah, like they're staged. They're like, look, I have my shoes neatly on a shelf. So sometimes I will like yell about like, why are there so many shoes at the front door? My husband's like, because we live here. And I'm like, oh, right.
So peak COVID, as you were getting closer to delivering this child, were they on Zoom or were you just going into hazmat suit, you know, plastic, everything?
Oh, I would go in with the doctor. My husband would have to wait in the car. Couldn't come in. We did our birthing class on Zoom, which was terrible because we didn't pay attention at all. What do I need to know about induction and like, and then literally I got to the hospital, I had to be induced and they gave me like all the, like it was everything they explained in the birthing class ended up happening. And they were like, well, didn't you? And I was like, no, the actual birth, I had to wear a mask when I was delivering, which I thought was so stupid. But, and then we were there the way it was at the time, it was July, 2020. Once you were in the hospital, you could not go outside for air. So we were in the hospital for 6 days. And I was like, can I please go outside and get like a little bit of sunshine on my face? And they're like, no, no.
Yeah, we just.
No, you have to watch this Undercover Boss marathon. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that's playing on the TV.
Do you love it now? Do you like, is it sentimental?
No.
You see it and you're like, oh.
The first day it was on, I was like coming off the fentanyl he gave me. And I was like, what? Like I was, birth is wild. And I have to tell you this, speaking of job and babies. So on day two of the induction, you know, I've got the fentanyl and the blah, 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 and the this, and I'm like literally loopy. And I get a email from my agents that was like, hey, we have a self-tape. I turn to Will, because I didn't know I was in labor. And I turn to Will, I go, and I literally have like the beep, beep, you know, beep, beep, the beep, beep machine. I go, hey, Will, do you think if you took this off me and I went in the bathroom, I could do that? And I was like talking like I was drugged out. I could do this voiceover real quick. And he goes, Julia, No. And I'm like, but it's $8,000 for our child, you know, like whatever it was. And he's like, no. So then I write back to my agents. I go, hey guys, if there's any chance I could hand this in Friday instead of Thursday, I'm in the middle of getting labor, but I think I'll be done by then. They wrote back immediately. They were like, please put away your phone.
It's amazing. I canceled a gig the day I went into labor, literally a bar gig. I was like, hey, sorry.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay, Julia, to end off, we have a segment we do with our guests called Rapid Fire. So I'm just going to ask you a bunch of kind of non sequitur questions. Just give me the first answer that comes to your head. What's one movie you want to make sure that your daughter sees?
National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Really?
It's my favorite movie. Yeah, I mean, it's like got a lot of titties and good classic dirty jokes. So not anytime soon, but...
Yeah, like 5, 6.
5, 6, yeah. I was thinking 4.
4, yeah, 4.5. We're birthday party kind of thing. Thoughts on having another child?
Every now and then I think about it, but I physically don't know if it's possible. So no.
Okay.
I don't think it's happening.
What is the most expensive thing you've purchased thus far for your child?
Preschool.
This is the truth. Cool, America. Would you rather your kid watch your stand-up act or your husband's?
I mean, she's actually seen both.
Oh.
So we both did After Midnight recently, so she watched that. And then I think like our name has been in the search on like the YouTube on the TV. So then she saw like a little square with the mic and was like, what's that? And so we played it. And yeah.
Did she have questions?
I don't talk about dick as much. I don't know. It's really weird. So all of a sudden you become in your 40s and married with a kid and your act is suddenly not about blowjobs anymore.
I've added more into mine recently just to stay current.
Good. Okay. Maybe I'll take that as a note.
They'll come back in.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't, with a straight face, ever talk about eating ass, and that everyone's covering that already on stage.
Yeah, I ate one ass, and it was fine. Maybe cut that. Oh, actually, make that the promo, because it will help my career.
It will. That's right. What is your favorite thing to play with your kid?
Oh, I love when she makes me food in her kitchen.
Aw.
And she serves it. And then sometimes she also has me take her order for breakfast. And I have like a little notepad and she has a menu and I'm the waiter. I really love that.
What's your least favorite thing to play with your kid?
Sometimes anything that involves running. Every now and then at the playground, she's like, chase me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bench, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any kids' songs stuck in your head currently?
The Spice Girls, Stop Right Now. Stop right now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
The way you went into Stop Right Now, I was like, that's current. That is very current. You're right
that's
on
very,
it. Perfect
yeah.
pitch, Julia yep. Rossi. Thank you so much, Julia. Everybody
thank you so
in LA,
much.
You know, go see her new solo show, Bed by 10. It's at the Lyric Hyperion on May 23rd. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so great to see you.
Hey, thanks so much for listening, and stick around for Thursday's mini episode. I'll be doing some rapid fire questions with comedy writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers, comedian Matt Goldich. So check that out. If you haven't yet, subscribe to this podcast. Don't miss any of them. And you can stop by Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review. It actually really, really helps. So thank you so much. And thank you for doing it right now. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Parenting is a Joke. On X, we are Parenting Joke. We have a Substack with new content every week. Just go to Substack and search Parenting is a Joke. Come see me live. Hey, if you're near Albany or anywhere upstate in the New York area, I'm going to be at the beautiful Troy Music Hall. That's just outside Albany. And that's on Friday, April 5th. You can find details on my website, OphiraEisenberg.com. Hey, follow me everywhere at Ophira E. Our episode is produced by me and Julie Smith Clem. Our editor is Nina Porzuki. Our sound designer is Tina Toby Mack. Our digital marketing is done by Laura Vogel. Our video editor is Melissa Weiss. Our overqualified intern is Jeffrey Kaufman. Thank you to all of the engineers at CityVox, and I'll leave you with a little bit more from Julia Rossi.
I love my baby. I'm very excited to be a mom. I had a child later in life. It's known as advanced maternal age. It used to be called geriatric pregnancy. The actual medical term for it, though, is old pussy. I have very old pussy. You can't tell, but my vagina is actually using a walker to get across the stage. And there's a butterscotch candy between its lips.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.